Welcome to day 44 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and today we are venturing on to a new book. Yesterday, in our last broadcast, we completed the book of Exodus, and today we will start in the book of Leviticus. Now, this is the third book of the Bible, or third book of the Pentateuch, as the first five books are called in Jewish tradition. And this book brings to us the subject of holiness and the subject of worship and the subject of how does a sinful people approach a holy God. So there's much in this book for us as New Testament believers. And yet many people have shied away from the book of Leviticus because there's so many listing of different laws and the law of the burnt offering, and it goes on from there. And have found it to be a difficult book to read and understand. But let me encourage you, don't relegate the book of Leviticus to just some past antiquity which doesn't apply to you today. But instead, if you'll take hold of it, you could say that the book of Leviticus is a literal treasure trove of prophetic symbolism for the New Testament believer. All of the book of Leviticus points to Christ. It points to the sacrifice of Jesus. It points to how God has allowed and enabled and made a way for a sinful people to come into holy fellowship with the holy God. And how does that happen? How can we worship properly? And all of these things are addressed in the book of Leviticus. But I want you to stay with me, and we will really mine the treasure that's in this book together. It's been said by Bible scholars that the book of Hebrews is an interpretation of the book of Leviticus. So we will draw heavily from the New Testament in our explanation or understanding of this important book. Remember that in the book of Hebrews, there's much spoken about our great high priest, who is Christ Jesus, the one who is able to save unto the uttermost those who come to God by him. And we will see this high priest offering, bringing the people into relationship with God throughout the book of Leviticus. So stay with me. I think you'll find this book to be very interesting as we look at the symbolism and its application to us today as modern day believers. So we're going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible, beginning at Leviticus 1, verse 1. Then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd or the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it, a male without defect. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. He shall slay the young bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around on the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priest, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the suet, over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. Its entrails, however, and its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall offer up in smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. But if his offering is from the flock, of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt offering, he shall offer it a male without defect. He shall slay it on the side of the altar, northward before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle its blood around on the altar. He shall then cut it into its pieces with its head and its suet. And the priest shall arrange them on the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. The entrails, however, and the legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer all of it, and offer it up in smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. But if his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head and offer it up in smoke on the altar, and its blood is to be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall also take away its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar eastward to the place of the ashes. Then he shall tear it by its wings, but shall not sever it. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar, on the wood which is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Chapter 2. Now, when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall then bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and shall take from it his handful of its fine flour and of its oil with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke as its memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. The remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to the Lord by fire. Now, when you bring an offering of a grain offering baked in an oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers spread with oil. If your offering is a grain offering made on the griddle, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it into bits and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. Now, if your offering is a grain offering made in a pan, it shall be of fine flour with oil. When you bring in the grain offering, which is made of these things, to the Lord, it shall be presented to the priest, and he shall bring it to the altar. The priest then shall take up from the grain offering its memorial portion, and shall offer it up in smoke on the altar as an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. The remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to the Lord by fire. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. As an offering of first fruits, you shall bring them to the Lord, but they shall not ascend for a soothing aroma on the altar. Every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. Also, if you bring a grain offering of early ripened things to the Lord, you shall bring fresh heads of grain roasted in the fire, grits of new growth for the grain offering of your early ripened things. You shall then put oil on it and lay incense on it. It is a grain offering. The priest shall offer up in smoke its memorial portion, part of its grits and its oil with all its incense, as an offering by fire to the Lord. Chapter 3. Now, if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, if he is going to offer out of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without defect before the Lord. He shall offer his hand on the head of his offering and slay it at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood round on the altar. From the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons shall offer it up in smoke on the altar, on the burnt offering, which is on the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. But if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord is from the flock, he shall offer it, male or female, without defect. If he's going to offer a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and slay it before the tent of meeting. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood around on the altar. From the sacrifice of peace offerings he shall bring as an offering by fire to the Lord, its fat, the entire fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire to the Lord. Moreover, if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on its head and slay it before the tent of meeting. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood around on the altar. From it he shall present his offerings as an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. The priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwellings. You shall not eat any fat or any blood. Chapter 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally in any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and commits any of them, if the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord a bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He shall bring the bull to the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the bull and slay the bull before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. The priest shall also put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense, which is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. And all the blood of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall remove from it all the fat of the bull of the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat which is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys, just as it is removed from the ox of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest is to offer them up in smoke on the altar of burnt offering. But the hide of the bull and all its flesh with its head and its legs and its entrails and its refuse, that is, all the rest of the bull, he is to bring out to a clean place outside the camp where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned. Now, if the whole congregation of Israel commits error, and the matter escapes the notice of the assembly, and they commit any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and they become guilty, when the sin which they have committed becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a bull of the herd for a sin offering and bring it before the tent of meeting. Then the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord, and the bull shall be slain before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to bring some of the blood of the bull to the tent of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord in front of the veil. He shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. and all the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall remove all its fat from it, and then offer it up in smoke on the altar. He shall also do with the bull just as he did with the bull of the sin offering. Thus he shall do with it. So the priest shall make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. Then he is to bring out the bull to a place outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. It is a sin offering for the assembly. When a leader sins and unintentionally does any one of all the things which the Lord his God has commanded not to be done, and he becomes guilty, if his sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a male without defect. He shall lay his hand on the head of the male goat and slay it in the place where they slay the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and the rest of its blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering. All its fat he shall offer up in smoke on the altar, as in the case of the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him in regard to his sin, and he will be forgiven. Now, if anyone of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and becomes guilty, if his sin which he has committed is made known to him, then he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without defect, for his sin which he has committed. He shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering at the place of the burnt offering. The priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and all the rest of its blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar. Then he shall remove all its fat, just as the fat was removed from the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar for a soothing aroma to the Lord. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be forgiven. But if he brings a lamb as his offering for a sin offering, he shall bring it, a female without defect. He shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they slay the burnt offering. The priest is to take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and all the rest of its blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar. Then he shall remove all its fat, just as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar, on the offerings by fire to the Lord. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him in regard to his sin which he has committed, and he will be forgiven. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we heard the word atonement used several times. And I want to begin by simply defining for you that word atonement. That word means to cover or to purge or to make reconciliation. The book of Leviticus has also been called the book of atonement because we see throughout the book of Leviticus a picture of atonement being made for the sins of the people, that there's a sacrifice that's made that atones or covers the sin or purges sin or makes reconciliation with God for the sin of the people, brings the people back into a reconciled relationship with God. We know that an unholy people can't have relationship with a holy God, and that there can't be fellowship between a holy God and an unholy person. So how is that gap between God and man bridged? Well, here in the book of Leviticus, we see in the very first offering that we read about in the first chapter of Leviticus, this offering called the whole burnt offering. And what that represents or speaks to us about is the sacrifice of Christ for us. It's called the whole burnt offering. His entire life was given so that man could be reconciled with God, so that a sinful person could come into relationship with a holy God. That is the purpose of Christ's death and resurrection, and it's also what is pointed to through the book of Leviticus, through this picture of people bringing a animal sacrifice to the Lord, burning it completely on the altar so that they could be reconciled to God because they had sin in their life. One thing I want to point out that's interesting here is that we heard that there were three different animals that could be brought and used in the whole burnt offering. And the purpose of this is that it meant that any person, whether they were rich or whether they were poor, could have the opportunity to approach God and be reconciled to God. Because the first offering, if it was a bull, if someone was wealthy enough to own a cattle and have a herd from which they could take that bull and offer it as a whole burnt offering, then they could bring that. If they didn't own a bull, they could take a goat or lamb. And then if they didn't own a flock at all, they were allowed to bring a bird, two turtle doves, for example. And it's interesting that if you remember the New Testament story of Mary and Joseph, when they went to the temple after the birth of Jesus, that they brought two turtle doves as their offering, which showed you that they didn't possess greater flocks or herds, but instead they brought the humblest of the whole burnt offerings, and that was the birds. And so, but it speaks to us that there's no one that is prevented from coming into relationship with the Lord because of lacking of money or anything like that. You don't have to bring an offering to God to be accepted by God, because today we know that the offering has already been made for us through Jesus Christ. And this picture of the offering, the whole burnt offering, that the entire animal's burned on the altar, that it's sacrificial from the standpoint that in that day, the people counted their wealth in their herds. That was, they were a pastoral people or people that gathered flocks and herds. They were shepherds. As you may remember, Joseph telling Pharaoh when his family was brought into Egypt that their occupation was shepherds. And so they always cared for goats and sheep and cattle. And so it was that picture that the most valuable thing that they had was their animals. And so they brought what was most valuable to them to offer to the Lord as a way to bring themselves back into relationship or be reconciled with the Lord. So this offering was for atonement. It was to be reconciled to the Lord. But today we know that the whole burnt offering speaks of Jesus, who gave himself completely for us so that we could be brought back into a reconciled relationship with the Father. It doesn't matter what a person has done, whether they are a murderer or a thief or some other horrific crime that they have committed any number of times. Do you know that God still will accept that person into his family if they come with a humble heart, with repentance, and with trust and faith in the offering of Jesus for their sins? You know, in pagan cultures, people bring offerings to their gods, their false gods, and certain ones they bring fruit offerings, they bring animal sacrifices, they bring different things because they themselves are trying to satisfy their false god and somehow make peace because of their sins, and they don't know how to get rid of it. So they'll bring these offerings trying to satisfy the gods that they serve. And yet in the case of the Christian believer, we don't bring the offering. God brought the offering in Jesus, and it is our place to accept the offering, that it was enough, to place our trust in Jesus Christ as our perfect offering for our sins. And that's something that's often hard for people, because we live even now in a time when people feel like they have to earn their favor with God or earn God's blessing. And yet God's kingdom is completely the opposite. We have to accept the offering that Christ has made of himself for us. And we can't live in that mentality that the world has, that you have to earn it, you have to work for it. It's not like that. The Christian faith is truly that. It's a faith. It's a trust in God and what God has done for us. And our trust has to be in the offering that Jesus was for us. He was the whole offering. He offered himself wholly, and it was a perfect sacrifice. You may remember, as we read through these chapters in Leviticus, that it was repeated multiple times that the offering or the animal sacrifice had to be without defect. In other words, it had to be perfect. Well, there's no perfect offering that any human being can actually bring to God. The only perfect offering was Christ himself. He was the perfect God-man who came and gave himself up for us to be reconciled to God. And he made the atonement. He covered our sin. He purged our sin. And he made reconciliation between us, the sinner, and this holy God. And the only way to bring him a perfect worship is to worship with the heart and the trust and the faith that God already provided the lamb, so to speak. Do you remember the story when Abraham went up to the mountain with Isaac? And Isaac asked him this question. He said, "We have the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham's answer was very profound. He said it by faith. He knew that God had asked him to sacrifice Isaac, but God knew that what he was going to do was he was going to provide the lamb. And Abraham's answer was beautiful, because he answered Isaac and said, "God himself will provide the lamb." And that was a prophetic statement. God provided the lamb quite literally for Abraham to offer up instead of Isaac. And then further down in history, hundreds of years later, God sent the true lamb, the Lamb of God, the perfect offering that would be offered up for the sake of mankind. God did provide the lamb. God presented to us this perfect lamb called the Lamb of God by John when he saw Jesus walking toward the Jordan River. He said prophetically, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he was referring to Jesus. Jesus was the lamb that God provided for the sacrifice that would be the atonement, the sacrifice that makes reconciliation between sinful man and a holy God. So it's a beautiful picture here in the book of Leviticus of the goodness of the Lord bringing us into relationship with himself through Jesus. God bless you and have a great day.